Welcome to episode 312 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or are just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Lindsay, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, Donna, and George. Traveling with children carries its own set of challenges. Gone are the days of sitting in the rear-facing bench seat of a 9-passenger Woody station wagon playing the license plate game. Depending on ages, length of travel, and mode of transportation for your vacation, you may need a little help with planning. So to help us answer some of these questions, we have invited Savannah Hill. Savannah owns a travel agency based out of a small suburb of Dallas, Texas. She and her husband decided it was a priority for them as a family to spend their money on experiences over things, even with small children. They have 3 kids, Holden, who is 6, Maxie, who is 4, and Hattie, who is 3, and have traveled with all 3 from Disney, Mexico, multiple cruises, Alaska, Europe, and much more. So let's get started. Wow, that's a lot of packing, Savannah. I just have to get... like, I got tired just hearing just that. Thinking about packing.
The goal is always one massive one for the kids, because we still have to be the ones to lug it around.
Holden's getting big enough. Surely. Surely.
And as they age, you have the caveat of that, you know, you're allowed to carry on per child, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but then again, he's getting old enough now, but for a while, that was my idea. It's like, oh, each kid will have their own carry-on, and then we ended up carrying 3 extra bags.
Because they're so little, you not only have clothing, but you have all the accoutrement that comes, the car seats, if you're doing that, your strollers, your diaper bags. How do you do it? Because I can't even pack for myself.
Well, you know, it's getting a little easier now that they're getting a little bit more out of that baby toddler phase. But as baby toddlers, a lot of times I would do things, try to make it as simple as possible. And if there's anything I could get there in the destination, I would try to do that. So like diapers, I didn't want to waste my bag with diapers. I'd buy them when we got to the destination, if I could. Sometimes that, like Mexico on an all-inclusive, it's a little harder. Or like, okay, but all-inclusives, I would find out what they had provided there. So a lot of, you know, a lot of hotels will do cribs or pack and plays, but strollers, some resorts in Mexico will provide you with a stroller. So we didn't have to worry about bringing that, or, you know, car seats if we needed that. I don't know. It's always a planning process. I usually try to start with the kids a week or so prior and start pulling things and placing them. And
Savannah's not going to admit this, but her kids also have to have matching outfits on trips, so it's a little bit more involved.
Yes, they do. So that there is part of that. I wasn't going to say that.
I know you were.
Well, so what I do is I take a gallon Ziploc baggie and I'll put like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. And then I will pick all their outfits to match for each day and then put them all in with the socks and the underwear and everything. So that way we just pajamas and everything, just pull it out for Monday, Tuesday. And I don't know if we'll probably get into this a little bit more later. A lot of times we travel with somebody extra to help us, and it's easy for them to say, instead of having to ask me, what do you want them to wear? They just pull out Wednesday or whatever. And yes, they always match.
Do you, that's a really good idea though. When I sent my son to New York on his like 8th grade trip, I did that for him. I had all his like stuff. And I mean, he needed it because it was a band trip and they were doing performances and they needed things for certain days. So that was, I like that idea. But it sounds like you fly more than drive. Is that true?
The only driving place that we go is to go see family, which is 6 hours away. And that's pretty much the max that I think we would drive. but most of our travel has always been planes and a lot of international stuff. All our kids got passports by the time they were 2 or 3 months old. And I mean, and all had their first plane trip within a few months of, our youngest was like 6 weeks old.
Wow.
So in scheduling that, I mean, how do you, when you're planning your trip, most of us look at what we're going to do for the day. You also have to put in nap time and all those things. So can you walk us through a little bit about how?
So I don't have expectations. I try to like limit my expectations and just kind of, I kind of have a plan, but just know that it probably won't go as expected. But the naps for when they're really little, I just tried to schedule the afternoon to be a little open. When we were in Europe, Holden was 4, Maxie was 2, and Hattie was almost 1. And I would try, a lot of times they would just nap in the double stroller, and then Hattie, being the youngest, I'd have her in the carrier. I actually have a picture in Nice, France, and they're all laid out like on, we were at a little cafe and they were all laid out on these like sofas everywhere with like the French Riviera in the background. While I drank my wine. You have to think about that because otherwise the day just goes like the evenings are awful. And a lot of our friends, I mean, you're not going to get to do as much as you would just traveling as adults because kids can't keep up that pace. But we would rather at least still get to do it and the kids get to experience it. We're usually up a lot earlier too with them than we typically would be just the two of us.
The question? Because I know we've all heard it. You know, your kids won't remember it. So why are you bothering?
We'll remember it. And again, we wouldn't get to... If we didn't bring them, we aren't going to go to Europe for 2 weeks and leave our kids at home for 2 weeks. We wouldn't get to do it in general. Exactly. And our kids, I mean, we went to Europe, that was 2 years ago and probably from seeing pictures and stuff, but our oldest still asks about it and remembers different parts of it. And we'll go again when they're.
And the pictures are amazing because they're all wearing matching outfits.
Now, Savannah, I ran into this when mine were little. I had one of those convertible strollers, you know, with the car carrier and all that attached. And it was a big, hefty stroller. And you have a double stroller. How did that work with the airlines? Because they were giving me a hard time.
So when we just had Holden, we had the big, like a, you know, this big thing and I brought it. I don't recommend, it's a nice stroller and it's heavy. Like I wouldn't recommend doing that. We got for the next trip, we got just a small little like cheap umbrella stroller. And then same with Europe. We have this double umbrella stroller that has been all over the world now. I think it's ready to be retired though. I mean, it was like $50 and off Amazon, I think. And it's super easy and we don't usually bring it. We don't usually check it. We usually bring it through the airport with us and they just sit in it and ride along in it.
Yeah, I gate checked mine, but American said because of its size and its weight, they were giving me a hard time about it.
Yeah. And then the car seat. So for the infant car seats, we would just bring we didn't bring the whole system. We would just bring the seat. And then the bigger car seats, there's a brand that's actually at Walmart and the car seat itself is only like 10 pounds. It's really light. And so we have two of those that we just keep in the bags and just throw them in when we go to the airport. And those we sometimes check. And then sometimes if it's a longer flight, we'll bring it on the flight because it's just easier to strap the kid in to keep them in their spot.
So when you
Sorry, that sounded really
insensitive.
Strap them in.
when you go to Europe and you take the car seats, do you have to take like two vehicles to fit all the seats and buckle them in, or how does that logistically work?
So we only brought one car seat to Europe for the baby, or Hattie. She was almost one. And then I found these two, they're like boost, because our elder two were technically tall and big enough for boosters. And it was like these, I'd have to find it, these booster seats that are like, they fold up, and then they have a little clip that attaches to the seatbelt to bring it down a little bit. And we just stuck those in our bags so that when we were going in taxis or whatever, we could just stick them. Like,
it's so amazing because, you know, Savannah is younger than anyone else on this podcast, but I think we all experience different levels of technology with our kids, because I think I took Marcus when he was 15 months old. So that was about 13 years ago, 12 and a half years ago. And the best I could do was to put the car seat in a backpack thing that was enormous. Like, I was like the woman in Labyrinth, you know, the old lady with the big backpack. I was just knocking things over, you know. And I got to get on early, and people were like, and I flew down to Orlando with him, and my husband was with Finley on a bus with, it was a free trip, and the company paid for this bus, but I decided to fly because I didn't want to take a 15-month-old in a bus. I'm kind of like Savannah. I'm like, yeah, 6 hours is about my max. That's where I draw the line. And yeah. I would rather carry this huge backpack with this car seat. But it literally was like, it was like I was carrying a chair on my back. Yeah. And then, you know, I had to get down the aisle, and I sort of had to take it off and hold it up so I could turn around and put it in the seat, because it wouldn't, like, you couldn't turn with you and the seat. But now Savannah's like, yeah, I just got this thing at Walmart, folds it up.
Well, that's for the booster. I do have a funny story with the car seat. So we have this little contraption that, again, off Amazon, that we strap the car seat on, and we can roll it around the airport. And Hattie, our baby, was in it and had fallen asleep in it while we were walking around the airport. I don't know that, but she was asleep in it, and we had to board. Well, it's a little, this car seat is a little too wide to pull down the aisle. So my husband's like carrying the car seat with her in it asleep down the aisle as we board. She's just like,
so that brings up another great question about traveling with little ones. You know, lucky for you, she was sleeping. I'm assuming she didn't stay sleeping the whole time. And what do you do to keep your kids occupied when they're tiny? What did you guys do when you were traveling?
Well, I try to book flights early. It works best to either do a super early morning flight, like a 6 a.m., because you wake them up early and they're still kind of out of it. You get to the airport, they get a little breakfast, and then typically they'll fall asleep. Now that they're getting a little older, that's not working quite as well. So my other option is like afternoon, after lunch, and typically they will fall asleep. But ours, I mean, they travel so much better on planes rather than the car, because they've done it so many times. But I obviously bring electronics. And I have a picture of Maxie on the flight home from Rome. She's got Frozen on the iPad, and she's watching it also on the back of the TV on the flight. She's got two different Frozens on. So lots of games downloaded, and then I also download movies just in case the TVs aren't working or whatever. And I bring coloring books, but I try to bring the ones that are activities rather than just coloring. The girls really like stickers. Holden will just take two cars and play for hours. Just anything to keep them occupied, and snacks, lots and lots and lots of variety of snacks.
I remembered this today for some reason, but, one time I took my kids to visit my aunt and uncle, and it was during one of our track outs, which was always over Halloween. So it was like November 1st, day after Halloween. we were driving up to DC from Raleigh, and it's about a 4 or 5 hour drive. And for some reason, I handed them the bag of candy. When I turned around, Ellie had like chocolate in her eyebrows. She was like, I don't know what happened.
You
know?
You really enjoyed that chocolate, yeah, didn't you?
That was one when Chris didn't go with me. That was me traveling by myself with the kids. And
You're probably just ready to throw anything at them to get them to.
Yeah. You know, I'm like, we only have 20 more miles. Make them cry. Just
pulling stale mints out of her purse and whipping them in the back.
Yeah.
So that, Sandy, that's a great segue into it. So how, as your kids have changed, how have you had to change? Because I'm assuming now that wouldn't work. You couldn't just, well, maybe it would. I don't know. Older teens, would you be able to
throw candy at them? Oh, man, family would be great. Yeah, it'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know for my teenagers, we're at a point fine. Where it's like, just buy as much junk food as possible, whatever you can still fit in the suitcase. And I will say they will carry their own bags now, because that was actually, you know, Marcus, who's my 14-year-old 6'1" hockey player, for years when he was little, you would give him the carry-on to carry. He'd carry it for 2 seconds, and then he'd literally hold it out like you were his servant, you know, for you to carry. You're like, no, you have to carry it. And he'd be like, I don't want to. And he would drop it. You know, I mean, it was just crazy. And now he will totally carry his own bag.
That's actually how I travel with my husband.
But there was, well, yeah, I've been known to do that too. Yeah.
Me too.
But yeah, I think that was the biggest change for us, was the true change from like making us do everything to they became much more self-sufficient. And I think that it helped that they had a lot of experience in the airport. So they sort of knew the drill. So they were really comfortable with it. It just became a natural progression. And honestly, Chris and I were behind them going, oh my gosh, he's carrying his suitcase. Don't say anything. You know, we were just waiting for the shoe to drop. And it never did. We were so excited. I don't think he noticed that he had changed, but we noticed it.
Now, we had bought, I mean, Alex got a Frozen suitcase and Connor got a Star Wars one. So they were all excited to show off their new suitcases to everybody in the airport. So, no, they weren't going to let those
go. I thought that.
Did any of
I thought that, but then, I mean, and it was like you said, it was like a good 5 minutes, and like, I don't want to carry this anymore.
The shine wore off. Yeah. Did any of you guys, I always see them at the airport, I see the parents with the suitcase the kids can ride on, and I'm like, that is genius. Whoever invented that, did anyone ever have those?
Can you see how small those are? There's in
there. Look, and if they frankly, made one that held my weight, I would be on it.
We do let the kids, like on the rollers that have the four roll, ours will sit on it. And it's just easier to, instead of having to have a hand, just set them on that and we roll them through the airport, like when we're checking bags and stuff.
So I have the ultimate, like, how things have changed with our travel. This summer, Fox drove the other car and four kids in the other car.
Oh my gosh. How did you age? You probably aged like 10 years on that car.
He still has license for a while now. So, and they actually, like, him and his friends took the van and went to West Virginia this summer. So he had already taken a couple of trips. So yeah, we just met them at the house, and you know, it's kind of nice to have them reach that level of self-sufficiency. Yeah.
Yeah.
George is nodding. He won't say
George,
that.
Is your daughter pretty self-sufficient when you travel together? She probably reminds you of what to do, right?
You're muted, George.
Yeah, that would help. Yes. Yeah, last time we were going through Orlando, she tried to tell me which way the Magical Express was.
Oh my, how things have changed.
Don't you tell me. Yeah.
And it was nice because she was wrong.
You think you're grown up. I will say that as a parent, that I'm noticing that the transition, like what Sandy was talking about, where, oh, well, he'd had his license for a while. There comes a point where you're just tired and you're like, yeah, just go. Help me out here. You know, when they're really little, you can't imagine ever getting to that phase. But you're also, when they're really little, dealing with Mr. I don't want to carry this anymore, you know. Mm-hmm. So you can't imagine that day when you're going to let him drive the car. But I think I'm there.
Connor had his first driving lesson today.
Oh, it's so glorious. Yeah, I think Marcus is almost there. Finley has almost got his license. He's still working on ours because COVID, but we're getting there. So
let's talk a little bit about a length of trips and how they've changed, like at different ages, different stages. Savannah, you probably can't like just take the kids and go for like a month, right?
Well, I mean, we had a trip booked this summer. Like when we went to Europe, it was 3.5 weeks. And then we were supposed to do 3.5 weeks this summer until COVID. We usually do a week or two for most of ours.
Nice.
So maybe it's easier when they're little because they don't have as much of their own itinerary for you to, like, they're like Elizabeth, you've got hockey practice and all the other.
Oh, yeah. We don't have to.
Well, when you're hauling so much stuff, I mean, it sounds like your stuff is a lot smaller and techier and nicer than the humongous stuff I had to haul around. But I mean, once you're there, you just want to unpack for a while. You don't want to repack it up, you know, and then go back already.
And the kids aren't, I mean, the kids are fine wherever they are. Like that's, as long as it's, I think the hardest part is the travel. Once they're there, generally they're okay. As long as, you know, as long as they can eat and sleep and go to the bathroom, they're pretty cool. Yeah. I've found.
So Elizabeth, you do something that I think is really neat. And I have a couple other friends that do this with their kids. You take separate trips with the kids. Can you share like how that evolved, and was that because they had different interests or was it more for convenience of schedule? Or
yeah, and I've been trying to talk Savannah into doing this too. I think she definitely needs to do it. It was born out of actually grief when my mother passed away. I really wanted to take my oldest back to Disney. It was something that my mom and I always did, and he was at a good age to do that just by himself. And I kind of thought it was going to be just a weekend. It was totally out of grief. I was doing it to it was for healing. But it was so amazing to see him completely change. Like we'd been to Disney, but when he's with his brother, you know, his brother was much more timid and he was much more like daredevil-y. And so he was making more compromises for his brother than I thought he was. Like, I didn't realize how many compromises he was making. And to have him there by himself, we were able to do exactly what he wanted to do and focus on his level of fear and his level of daredevil and all of that. His food tastes, like all those things were just so different from his brother. And so I thought, well, you know, I did this with him. I'm going to do it with his brother just to see how that goes. And it kind of, you know, he was 7 when I took him on the grief trip. So I took Marcus the next year and he was 5. Because it was just because of timing, I mean, he might've been 6, but he was still mostly in a stroller. And we went to Star Wars weekend cause I knew he really liked Star Wars, but he didn't really like it enough to really enjoy the process. However, we stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge and him having zebras in his backyard was amazing. And again, it was just one of those things where, you know, his older brother doesn't care about zebras, but Marcus cares about zebras. And so we were really able to focus on what Marcus wanted to do. And so that's when I started saying, okay, well, each year. And at first I chose the trip and it was Disney by default. But then once they got sort of into the preteen years, I started letting them choose. Marcus actually continued to choose Disney, but Finley was like, oh, I want to do the Southwest, or, you know, I want to do something outdoorsy. But so we had to compromise because I don't camp. So, you know, we had to find something that would work for both of us. So as we're, you know, Marcus is really into the Beatles. So we'll probably end up doing a Liverpool trip that Finley would have absolutely no interest in. Whereas Finley is a little bit more, we were supposed to go to LA this year. And so that's a really long answer to the question, but it really is about getting to know them one-on-one and getting to see their own travel style. Because when they're with the family, they will make compromises that you don't even realize they're making. And it was just such a great way to bond. And since travel's so important to me, that was a good, really, really good way to do it. Whereas Chris can take them to sports games and things like that, sportsing and sports ball and all of that, and they can bond there, but I don't have that. So
I love that. I definitely want to try to do that with our 3, do one-on-one trips. I just have to convince my husband to
Yeah, I wish I had done. I had done that with my sons more, because I did it. I've done it with my daughter, and I've done it with the twins, which was cool because they kind of have a really cool bond, and for them to be on a trip together was very cool. But I've never done it with Fox by himself, and I've never done it with that one by himself, and I don't know that either one of them would be interested now. You know, I think I might have missed the window.
Well, see, I took my daughter skiing once. And it was, and I couldn't take my son because his grades weren't good enough to be away from school. And so he missed out.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't think your kids are ever going to be too old for you to have a one-on-one travel experience with them. I think at whatever stage that they're at, you could make it special and bonding and, that's just my personal.
I agree. And my grief trip, my grief trip was born out of trips that I took with my mom as an adult, not necessarily out of the trips that I had as a kid. It was all of them, really. But, you know, those last trips with her were really special, where it's just her and me.
My mom and I went to New York a couple times, just the two of us. And after she passed away, my dad and I started going. And then after I had more than one child, my husband.
Well, and as they get older, it'll be easier. I mean, I think that's, you know, for me, we actually weren't even going to take Marcus to Disney when he was 15 months old, but we got that free trip. So, you know, it wasn't necessarily that we intended to do that. But for the one-on-one trips, like I said, Marcus was just a little too young. It was more about me. And I'm glad that I met friends while I was there. I had friends down in Orlando that I hung out with, because if it had been just him and me, it would have been a little bit, I mean, it would have been difficult to be down there for as long as we were there with him, because he was alert and he enjoyed himself, but he couldn't carry on a real conversation or anything like that. So.
Yeah, I think it really kind of depends on where they are in their stages. And I really enjoy seeing like all of your guys' pictures voyeuristically when you are traveling with your kids, because I do think it opens up a different side. I mean, I've been to Disney a million times, but it's not the same as when you're seeing Disney through a child's experience or through your child's eyes. And I've been very fortunate to be on a couple trips with friends with children, and it's just different. I think it's a very different experience. Like you going to France with Marcus, that would have been a completely different trip with you and anybody else.
Yeah, and Savannah took her little ones to France, and you know, you still had wine and you still had cheese and you still did all those things, right? So it's just getting to experience it in a different way. And actually just the other day, Marcus was like, "Hey, look, Mom, here's this great picture I took when we were outside of Vivier in France." So it's going to be really fun when your kids are really taking their own pictures and like reliving those memories without you asking them to. Really meant a lot to me.
Yeah, we have a picture of us in Rome in front of the Colosseum, and everybody, at least the kids, they look like miserable. They're like they're in the stroller like, "Oh, we're so hot." I mean, it was a hot day. And while that experience, the Colosseum was fun, we left there and it was a little too early for lunch. So we went to this little park right next to the Colosseum, and they just ran around, and we got a bottle of wine and just sat there and watched them run around, and they had a blast for like an hour. And so, you know, like I was saying about expectations, you know, I was thinking the Colosseum, would they'd be like, "Oh, this is so cool." But really it was just a little small moment in the park. That was so special.
That'll probably change when they're older. You take them back.
True. The
Colosseum will become a different highlight.
Yes.
So I think it's safe to say all of you have taken your kids on cruises, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And all probably at different age ranges. Is that anybody's preferred method of traveling with children? And if so, why? Or if so, why not?
I wish I had done it more. My kids have actually only been on one cruise, and the twins were 11 and Fox was 14. So they loved it. That was a great age because they could do a lot of stuff on the cruise. But I see like the commercials with younger kids on these cruises and stuff, and I wish that we had done it when they were smaller too. I feel like, you know, now they're all about to leave. Although if I told them I would take them on a cruise, they would come back and do the cruise.
It's actually funny that we talked about this tonight at dinner. That they loved cruising, but they hated being stuck in the kids club, which we had some really long excursions and some very culturally, you know, immersive in excursions. And so we left them at the kids club. Well, they got stuck in a giant sandbox with no shade and were burnt to a crisp on the first day of the trip. And then on the last day, we decided we had booked an 8-hour excursion and left them on the ship again. And they're like, don't do that to us again, ever.
I think that's got to depend on the kids club, though, because
I think that yeah. I think
I've seen
right.
people like trying to pull their kids kicking and screaming away.
It's ages too, I think.
Because we've done Carnival, Royal, Disney, and Celebrity, and Disney, we did leave the girls. It was when we were in Europe. And so when they were very little. And so we only brought Holden on the excursion with us one of the days and left the girls in the nursery on the boat. And they loved it. I mean, the nursery, Disney's nursery is phenomenal. And I think it, like I said, it just depends on the kids club and how interactive. I mean, our kids, that's why they love, that's the first thing they ask when we get on a ship. Is can we go to the kids club, can we go back to the kids club? They don't hang out with us at
there's
all.
A dead,
but I know it's probably eight.
Yeah, there's a dead dependent. Zone right in the tween years, because that was actually what we found. The kids loved the kids club, and then we went on one cruise and they were like, oh, the kids club is lame, and we're like, what? This has never happened. And it was that tween, like they didn't want to be babied, but they wanted more independence, but they weren't quite old enough to have the independence that they wanted. But then we just went on a cruise last year with them both in the teen clubs, and they were happy as clams. I mean, we didn't see them at all that cruise again. Mm-hmm. Like they were gone till 1 o'clock in the morning, like crazy hours. So it was sort of, we had this little dead zone where they just were not about the club. And I find that with my clients and my friends as well, that it's that sort of,
yeah, isn't that the age where everything is mm-hmm. lame?
Yeah.
I remember my sisters, everything is lame. Mm-hmm. You're 12.
I think it's important though for when you're as an advisor talking to clients, and then when people are trying to plan out, you know, which cruise line you're going to do, especially if there's two ships that maybe are similar on two different brands that have same itineraries, if that's an important aspect, because I've seen now how they all do their kids club mm-hmm. differently. They, you know, how they group the kids, how many kids are in the room, what they do with the programs, and like Celebrity, you know, that's not known to have a group. It's not known for kids being on that ship. And that was one of my kids' favorites because there wasn't that many kids. And so they got lots of one-on-one attention. They have a STEM focused kind of curriculum. And the kids, like lots of hands-on activities, the kids loved it. So I think it's important for someone that's, if you're bringing your kids, it's a great, important aspect mm-hmm. to look into.
For sure. So there's a question in here about transportation that I want to talk about too, because we sort of talked about Savannah and I don't do road trips, but I know Sandy, you do them all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And did you find that that was like your kids were, I mean, I remember road trips from when I was a kid, and both of my parents smoked, and the windows would be up the whole time. So the car would just be filled with smoke, and we would like be lying down in the back seat trying to stay underneath the smoke.
Wow.
And like these, and of course seat belts were not a thing. So like, I do not have good memories of road trips. They weren't, you know, really,
no, we
they
just
were fine. Them, I wasn't
like,
tortured.
A
or
huge bag of candy and told them to have it. No, I mean, I have a pretty nice fan that has like the DVD player installed, and you know, that was key when they were little. I needed a van for all the stuff, and even like my first van, we still needed like a car top carrier for like everything we needed on top. It was when you have twins, I mean, you know, Savannah, because they're not twins, but they're little, when you need two pack and plays and two, you know, like it's just so much stuff. Twice as much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when, and my family's on the East Coast, and I don't know, everything I wanted to do was within 10 hours of the drive. So that's what we did. We drove a lot. And we would get up and leave at like 3 a.m. and they would fall back asleep in the car. They don't really do that as much anymore, but, you know, it's just kind of, you know, then we get there and then someone else can watch them while I nap. And so,
So do you think, like, as they're older, they probably don't appreciate it now, but I bet they're, when they get older, they're going to appreciate all that forced bonding time.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I just know Sandy made them play games.
Oh, they love car games. We have this alphabet game that we've played it like a million times. I remember when we were in Virginia Beach and we had to walk like 2 miles from this concert back to our hotel, and we played that alphabet game the whole time just to make them not realize they were walking 2 miles. And it worked, you know, stuff like that works. So
that's probably something Savannah's going to have to work harder at, because she's raising her kids in a more techie generation, is getting that, like, because I'm assuming, Sandy, your kids didn't really have, like, all the little gadgets.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Right, to distract them in the car.
Game Boys, and, yeah, I mean, they didn't really have.
They still had the.
They didn't have the iPad till they were probably, like, late elementary school, but, yeah, they had.
Now you give a teenager a cell phone and they forget you exist.
Well, they started getting cell phones in middle school, and so yeah, that changed it. So.
And we try to limit it. Like, I mean, on airplanes, it's obviously like, here, have it as much as you want. Yes. But
for the sake of everyone on board,
yes. But on the actual trip, we really limit it. You know. We don't bring the phones to dinner, or we try to keep it in the cabin. So we don't bring it out with us. We'll have a couple maybe stashed away just in case, if we need a distraction, but, I don't want that to be what we remember. You know, I want them to be, we're there for family time. So
I remember this trip. I played Angry Birds for 6 hours. That's
yeah. Well, and those car games, actually, it's fun to keep those in your back pocket, because mm-hmm. I'd almost forgotten about it. And we just drove up to New York recently. And that was the longest road trip we've ever taken as a family, actually about 10 hours, about the same as Disney, not quite. And along the way, we were listening to this playlist that actually my youngest had made. And so he wasn't really on his iPad as much. And I brought up the alphabet game and he thought it was great. Like, it was like, now I think it's only going to work that one time. Like, it's not going to entertain him the way that it entertained me on many, many car trips. But it was so novel, you know, and he was just fascinated by the fact that you used to do this. Like, this was fun. So it was sort of this weird, a little made me feel really old, but at the same time, it kind of made me nostalgic and remember those car trips with my parents. I did not smoke in the car, however, to bring back all the
slug
memories.
Bugs. So.
Yes.
Slug,
yeah, no, I can't do that with my kids because they will actually kill each other. So it would just be an excuse to hit each other. It would not go well. No.
So there's something on here about extended stays in work. Have any of you guys considered that with your kids? Maybe especially now in this type of climate, this has been a really big thing in our industry. There's a lot of different places advertising this. Is something you consider? Kind of like picking everybody up. And
we kind of thought about it this summer before we knew really what school was going to look like. Obviously we didn't do it. There's a girl that I am friends with in the travel industry. She went to Aruba for a month with her twins. Her husband couldn't go. I think he went for like a week, but she's and did virtual school there, and she went and just stayed in Aruba. Mm-hmm.
But you were still in Europe for 3 weeks, so that's a pretty lengthy trip.
Yeah.
We both have jobs that are somewhat mobile.
Yeah, I think the trip that I took with Marcus was when we went to France, the one you alluded to, Lindsay, was the longest one that I'd taken. That was about a week and a half with the kids. It's not that I don't think my kids can travel that long. It's just that there's usually been a reason why we can't do it. So while they were younger, I was employed at a regular 40-hour-a-week job. And Chris was under the impression until COVID that he had to do his job from the office. He now knows he doesn't. So that may change things. But now we have school, we have hockey practice, we have roller derby, we have all those things that sort of get in the way of a really long trip, even over the summer. Both my kids chose sports that you think hockey has a break, but it doesn't actually. They play ice hockey all year round. Mm-hmm. And roller derby's the same way. So
roller derby's really like a lifestyle.
It really is, so. Yeah. So we really don't have, I mean, I have to take them away from their activities. And that is always the question whenever I bring up, hey, should we go on this trip? The first thing out of my husband's mouth is, I have to check the hockey schedule, you know, because he can't miss hockey. So it turns out he actually can miss hockey. Just, you know, spoiler alert, he can, but he doesn't want to miss it very often. Doesn't want to miss it very often. So it makes it harder to take those longer trips. But I would have no qualm about taking, you know, Finley is in year round, mm-hmm. is not year round. Finley's in virtual school right now. And had I known it was going to go all semester, we weren't sure. They just announced last week that it was going to actually go through the semester, not just the quarter. I probably would have booked something for at least a couple weeks with him, because it's good for him to actually have a change of scene too, like working here at the house. Mm-hmm. You know, our audience can't see it, but you guys can see the mess, but that's his school desk. Like it just becomes like camp.
Chaos. Well,
mine is in person school, but if he misses a day, he can literally just, he can log in and do his assignments for the day, and he's considered absent. So I could leave, and I'm almost grateful for that, because we are in the process, apparently three wasn't enough, so we're adopting, and when we finalize the adoption in Colombia, it's going to be about 4 to 6 weeks that we will be living there. And the kids will come down with us, maybe not the whole time, but for at least part of it. So out of maybe one semi-positive out of all this COVID mess is that it will hopefully give families a little bit more flexibility mm-hmm. to take those. Because I think that those vacations are so important mm-hmm. for families.
Yeah. And as an observer with no children, what I'm really hearing out of this, and it's something that we've talked about a lot in the travel industry, is that everyone has this misconception that when they're little, oh, you can't travel with them when they're little, because then they won't remember, or it's going to be too hard. But really, Savannah, you have the most freedom right now, because your kids don't have that rigid schedule.
Yeah, the practices.
And
yeah.
Now is kind of, you know, with the silver lining, you know, to find the silver mm-hmm. lining in our current situation. Now is the time to kind of take advantage of that mm-hmm. opportunity of a more flexible schedule. And
yeah, it's definitely not a vacation. Yeah. It's more of a trip.
It's more of an adventure.
But yes, but it's definitely yeah. worth it.
You take all your chores with you.
Yeah, exactly.
All your responsibilities. Yeah. But you have a more beautiful scenery for your schoolwork and office. So, well, guys, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away, or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. A big thank you to Savannah for joining us tonight to chat. Thank you so much, Savannah. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, George, Elizabeth, and myself, Lindsay, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.